Some are always looking for more sports content, and among the glut of sports media, some are looking for sports content that dives a bit deeper and doesn't just stick to sports. So check out Backpack Broadcasting's original long-form sports journalism series, Sideline Stories. The award-winning original series takes viewers directly into underrepresented communities within the world of sports. It's a series that goes beyond traditional sports reporting, like box scores and statistics, presenting exclusive stories that you won't find anywhere else. With a diverse group of correspondents, the series provides interviews and interesting stories around the world of sports, because there is so much beyond the game, and so much that occurs off the field or court that impacts each of us and the world we live in. Giving a voice to athletes, coaches, fans, and everyone involved in athletics, Sideline Stories looks to push sports storytelling further than ever before. It's a winner of the 2020 Independent Shorts Awards, and all episodes of Sideline Stories are available for viewing today on Backpack Broadcasting's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Tell podcast episode 200. 200. No more ones in front of these triple digit numbers. Brian is smiling. He's happy. If you're watching this podcast, if you're listening, I'm sure you can feel his energy through the audio waves for sure. Dexter Henry here. Brian Fonseca here with you. Brian, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing well. Just actually before we got on this podcast, just did some manual labor with my pops. And I got to say, that is a very underrated feeling when you just get to just move shit around with your father. You know what I'm saying? Just like tables and all this shit. Like, I got to say, like, I forgot how much fun that was, because we haven't done that in a little bit.
Wow. I'm not sure I've ever found the manual labor that fun. I don't think I have.
Maybe I'm just getting a little older, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe it's just the bonding moment. I don't find that work fun, but if you're talking about the bonding with your pops, okay, I'll get down with that.
Because he is more of a, he's a hands-on physical labor. Like, all of his jobs have had some sort of physical element in them, right? And I'm not necessarily that kind of person. Right. in terms of my work life, physical, you know, we can get into that in other contexts, but like,
physicality in this guy.
But no, it was cool. It was a lot of fun, and just overall doing well. I gotta say, work wise, probably as optimistic as I've been in a while. Right now,
so well,
things are moving.
Well, speaking of things moving, as we start, we're going to celebrate a lot with 200, and we'll get into some topics here later. But we should let the people know, Brian has a new show out with our boy Tim A, Bahamian Brother, that I don't know. They have a title for this show that I don't necessarily agree with. It should just be called hashtag We Love the Heat, hashtag Heat Culture, hashtag Two Dudes from the Caribbean Sea. It should be something like that. But they got a new show. Tell the people about the new show, man.
The show is, and I open myself for all the jokes here, because it is on the Five Reasons Sports Network, and you know, we had our fun, like, Brian's a Heat fan and all this shit, and it happened in the group chat or whatever.
Wait. Don't be saying we had our fun like it isn't.
No, true. I said we've had. I meant we've had our fun, and we still are. Evidently.
Yes, yes.
But you know what? I guess I just decided to lean fully into it. But no, on a serious note, like, yeah, I mean, Five Reasons Sports does a great job. And for me, I after my last work experience, which we've talked about up here a couple of different times, I've recognized, especially now, the importance of wanting to do things with people and brands and businesses that you really fuck with, right? And for me, I like what I'm doing at FanDuel, and I like what I'm going to be doing at FanDuel. Latino Rebels, you already know. I've been doing some stuff there and a lot of stuff that I'm proud of. And then Five Reasons Sports, I like what they're doing. And they're a South Florida brand, but they're also expanding, evidently, because I'm from New York. Timmy's from the Bahamas. The show that we're doing is called the Bahama Rican Boys. Leaning into our cultures, we're going to be covering sports and some entertainment stuff, too. Like, we're going to be talking about Narcos and Insecure, and we're going to be talking about some NBA and Miami Heat stuff, and maybe get some interviews and just sort of bring a little something different to the network that is it's growing, you know, very fast. You know, they're at, I think, 14,000 something subscribers on YouTube right now, and you know, it's gone a lot up from where they were previously. And I've sort of watched this, and then, you know, we ended up talking, and we're here now. So I'm gonna be there. Latino Rebels, as I talked about, FanDuel here. It Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, obviously. We'll see if anything else gets put on the table. But yeah, only doing things with people that I mess with, you know, philosophically, business wise, and whatever the case may be.
Yeah, no time to be wasting time. And we're gonna get into that a little bit later, because I think toxic work culture is going to come up in this episode. Which
Fair.
I'm sure,
yeah.
Ryan and I have some things to say about that from my experience. If people listen to episode earlier this week of the NBA Exchange, myself and Jamoke talked about Davis from the Just for Sport podcast. We talked about some stuff with toxic workplace culture. We'll get into that. But we told y'all, episode 200, you know what it is. We want to celebrate. We've made it 200 episodes. I know I joke about Brian all the time about, you know, Brian's excited about the next number and going forward. And, you know, not looking forward, but it is something to celebrate in the moment every time you add another number, every time you're able to create some more content, right? You know, not Brian says this all the time, not a lot of people get to X number of episodes we've
done. True.
Not a lot of people have gotten to 200. It's true. It's true.
Let me ask you this. Like, I mean, shit, we've started this over 4 years ago. Like, I wasn't thinking about, like, I'm like, yo, let's just get to like 25. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just build it from the ground up. I'm not foreseeing like, yo, how, like, what's going to happen when we get to this number, this number, this number. And then when it starts approaching, you start to realize like, yo, we're at 200 of these, and could be at more if we decided to count certain episodes and extras, right, and things like that. Like, we didn't sort of flub the numbers in a way that I probably may have wanted to.
we didn't juke the stats, y'all. We didn't juke the stats.
We didn't juke the stats. We're at 200 proper. But like, yeah, I think that, you know, we've been around for a minute, and obviously, like, we still have plans to make this podcast bigger and better than it's ever been. And a big part of that has been just the transformation that I'm proud of that we've made this year. And the stuff that we're doing here, and also the stuff that Dexter and I are doing away from this, I think it's all like part of the pot, right? It's all like helping our growth and what we're doing. So, yeah, I'm just very excited about things right now, I gotta say.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I don't think I thought about 200 episodes when we first started it. I don't think about things in that way. I've kind of realized that I've gotten older. I've realized, especially doing the content I've created for Backpack Broadcasting, I never thought in 2010, you know, it was just November 2nd. It was just 7 days ago from the time of recording this, that it was 11 years since I started Backpack Broadcasting. And I would like to say something about that. I've had a thread on Twitter, which you don't usually see me post a lot of threads. That doesn't really happen. But I had a thread talking about what creating Backpack Broadcasting has done for me, what the people around me that have worked here, our producer Greg, Brian, who's really pushed me to do the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, other people who pushed me to do Sideline Stories, the Sports Walk, etc. When I started this, I never thought about doing any of that. So Brian asked, thinking about 200 episodes, nah, man, I was just hoping we could continue doing it. Still like to talk some sports and hip hop, doing something different, being people with different voices and spaces. We've done that, and we'll continue to do that. I think we've been successful with that. We'll continue to have increased success with it because the growth has been good, and we were in a classroom at a school we used to work at, and now we're doing this remotely with great presentation and still booking good guests. So, yeah, but I think I have to give a huge thanks to everybody involved from day one. Matthew Finiza, Luis Velez, our man Matty P, Greg, who rocks with us now, St. Francis College in the beginning for the space. Give them some love there. Gotham Podcast.
Yeah, never mind.
We ain't gonna go there. except for the few, I know, I'll say a few people act like assholes. But that's cool. We ain't gonna lump you into that. Gotham Podcast Studio, who we rocked with, and now doing stuff with Backpack and the Props Network. So, yeah, you know, thanks to everybody, because they're the ones who make it possible. So, you know, and then obviously the supporters, the listeners, the viewers. If you share, you retweet, if you've donated on Patreon, thank you. We appreciate that immensely. We would not be here without you. So 200 episodes, as we told y'all from the jump, man, we just trying to keep it real. Now, this episode, it's going to be a lot about people not keeping it real. Some people who were lying to the people. But before we get to that, you know what? I thought about this for this episode and this theme, and I was like, I was watching a commercial for a particular food establishment today. And it made me think about my first time trying this food establishment, because everybody was like, yo, this is good. You got to try it. You got to have it. And then I tried it and I was like, I didn't like it. So I got to ask Brian, before I name this establishment, and I don't care because they don't sponsor me. If they want to sponsor us, they can at some point. But I particularly wasn't impressed with their food. Have anybody ever told you about a spot and was like, yo, you got to try? It could be fast food. It could be sit down dining. Told you about the spot. And then you went to the spot, had the food, and you were like, nah, this ain't it.
You know, I think this has happened to every New Yorker at least once. And I'm trying to think of the spot. It's not really coming to me right now, but it's absolutely happened multiple times, especially in college. Mm. College, for some reason, it's the place that it happens. But yeah.
So the spot I was thinking of, and this pops, guys, like I said, I saw this commercial. The spot I'm talking about here, let me pull the story back a little bit. This, I'd seen the commercials for this around for a while, and this occurred about a year ago. I was in Long Island somewhere, and I was actually stopped to get some coffee from Starbucks, and I saw this spot, and I was like, oh, you know what? I'm hungry. I should try this. And the spot was Wingstop. Okay? Now, people have always told me, oh, you got to have some Wingstop
wings. No.
Wingstop wings are great. They're fantastic.
Oh, no.
And like, yo, I had the wings, and I was like, what? And so, yo, I thought I was bugging, right? I'm like, nah, maybe not. But this randomly came up with one of my friends maybe about 6-7 months ago. And he was like, yo, man, have you ever had Wingstop wings? And I was like, yeah, don't do it. He's like, nah, I already had it. That shit was whack. And I was like, I know. Shit's whack. Like, there's nothing popping about it. And I had, somebody's going to be listening and be like, Dexter, but did you have the lemon pepper wings? Yes, I did. Yeah. They were not good. Did you have the soy garlic wings? Which anybody knows me, I love some soy garlic wings. Nope. Nope. Not good at all. Did you have, I had a variety. And like, not one of these wings were dope. Yo, I know Rick Ross is on it. I know Rick Ross is out here promoting it. We do a sports and hip hop podcast.
We do it. I'm here to tell now. You.
Yo, man. Yo, you know how Rick Ross is like, I was like, ugh. Nah.
So,
I don't really want the Wingstop, man. Wingstop, they're lying to the people. It's not like that. If somebody tells you Wingstop is nice, nah, even our producer Greg just sent us a message. They're complete trash. I'm inclined to agree.
Full disclosure, I have not yet tried Wingstop.
I have wanted to,
but I have been told by multiple people. And look, in terms of people's opinions, I regard versus like, you know, Dexter's very, 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 very high on that list. So like,
even on food?
I mean, you know,
okay.
I'm
honored that you trust me on the food. I'm honored.
Well, one, I feel like we have not super, super similar tastes, but we do eat at a lot of the same sort of places. Which, okay. By the way, I got to say this. I'm going to give a free plug to this place. This is a place where you and Marguerite got to come, me and Astro. There's this place, in terms of wings, they're the best that I've had. There's a place called Queens Bully in Forest Hills.
Oh, okay. But I've also heard of this before. I've heard other people speak highly of this place before.
You got to come, bro.
Although, to be fair, people did speak highly of Wingstop, and I now have to question those people.
Wingstop's different. You know, this is like a sit-down. This is like a restaurant, whatever. They have different, you know, lemon pepper barbecue, all this shit. The sticky wings that they have, that's the fucking show stealer, okay?
Huh.
I've had those. Like, those are the ones that we get often. We'll get, like, I think an order comes with 10. We'll split them, and then we'll get some food, whatever. Or we just might eat wings straight up. You know what I'm saying? Like, so Queens Bully in Forest Hills, dope. Wingstop, I haven't had. There's one in Bushwick that I was like, thought about ordering from there before, but just never really got around to it. You see all the commercials for stuff, and, you know, I still have to try the brisket from Chipotle. and I want to have it. You know what I mean? But I feel like that actually might be fire, and I kind of like Chipotle. But yo, I've heard this from at least like four people, so mm-hmm. I'm probably good on Wingstop, because there are very few things that piss me off more than spending money on food and not really liking the food.
I mean,
that is an all-time bad fucking
thing. You know what's funny, man? Like, it's funny you say that, because like I pretty much chalk things up to trying new foods and new experiences. Is that, look, it sometimes it's gonna hit and sometimes it's not. You hope that most of the time it hits, but sometimes you'll get a dud, right? The problem is you don't want to pay too much for the dud.
And that's there are, happened and too. There are mad places that I've never had a dud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I've
never had a bad, like, this is not even, I'm not even trying to say like this restaurant is like, you know, in the top 1% or whatever the case may be, but like, I've never had a bad meal at Bear Burger, for example. You know what I mean?
And I'm trying to think about even in like sit down spots, or like Bear Burger is a fast casual spot, right? Like, there's not, I can't think of too many duds. Wingstop was absolutely a dud. And I don't know if it's because I kept
seeing Did you finish the meal?
Did I tell you how bad it was? The answer is no.
See, if you don't finish the meal, I've had something before where I've like it was not what I thought it would be, but like I could finish 40
wings, man. I got like 40 wings. This was for the family. This wasn't just for me. People out there, so pump your brakes. Yo, I'm gonna tell you how you know the wings wasn't popping. My daughter didn't care for them.
No.
That's how you know. That's how you know.
Okay, so wait, this is important. What did you do? What did you do after? Like, did you get, like, because you had to eat. You still had to eat.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I didn't want to be wasteful. I try not to be wasteful, as I'm sure you do as well, Brian.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I asked you if you finished it. Because, you know, we're like, yo, we paid for this shit. Fuck it.
Like, I reluctantly put it back in the fridge and was like, all right, tomorrow, the next day, I might get a little hungry. And, you know, I'll try to eat it. And I did. I mean, I don't want to say that the wings, I know Greg and I were a little harsh, I'm calling it complete trash. You can eat them. It's not like it's, you know, it's not like it's doo-doo in your mouth or something. You know what I'm saying? But like,
they don't live up to the name, though.
Nah, I don't live up to the name.
They ain't like wings that stop you. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't wings you should stop for again. You know what I'm saying? It was like a clear never again for me. Like, this, we're not doing this again. Like, I finished it, and I think I munched on it through the next day while I was watching some sports or something, because, you know, I had to get some protein in the body. So
yeah,
I did that.
And if you're hungry, certain food could just taste better if you're hungry.
Right? Yeah, you'll get through it. But nah, never again. Wingstop ain't like that. I had definitely better wing spots than that in my life.
The fries, nothing was redeemable?
Oh, the fries were extremely lackluster. No.
There are places where, like, you know, you go out to eat, whatever, and there are certain, like, you order different things, and there are certain places where I'm like, okay, this was okay, but yo, the fries are really good. You know, like, yeah, they'll have, like, that one really redeeming thing.
There was
thing.
Nothing I would go back for. I'm being serious. Like, there's nothing I would go back for. And, like, I feel like the people that really like Wingstop, and I'm not even trying to shame people, but it's like, if you really like Wingstop, I just feel like you haven't had enough good wings in your life. And I say, like, you just need to eat better wings. I'm not shaming anybody. I'm just saying, you might think something is really good until, you know, it happens with all of us. We grow. We experience something a little bit better, a little bit more diversity in our palate. I'm not shaming anybody. You just maybe should eat some better wings. And because I had better wings, I knew this wasn't really shit. That's all.
Best wings I've had, definitely Queens Bully, like I mentioned. And also O'Neill's in Maspeth, which they used to have this wing night promo thing where I went to high school in that area. So it was like a spot you can go. And it was something like 25 cents a wing. So you could get 20 wings for like $4 that y'all could split amongst people at a table. It was one of those deals. It was actually where we saw the horrible, but somehow still entertaining, 2011 national championship game between UConn and Butler.
Oh,
the Kemba Walker, Shabazz Napier, like that. We saw it from there. I remember we were like juniors in high school, and it was like, yeah, the wings were fire though.
Well, at least you had good wings. You know what I had that night? I had a Wingstop. Not good wings at all. Best thing about that night was probably the alcohol I drank to wash the taste of those wings away.
The Sports Walk is back. Watch season 4 of Backpack Broadcasting's original award-winning web series that brings you the opinions of real sports fans in these streets, literally in these streets. The first three seasons and current season with new episodes every Monday are available now on the Backpack Broadcasting YouTube channel. Check out the 2017 NYC WebFest official selection and see what other sports fans have to say on the hottest issues in sports today. It's easy, y'all. Just take the sports walk.
Speaking of lying to the people, yo, how about your boy Aaron Rodgers?
Is he my boy?
I mean, your boy.
I like him as a football player, but holy shit! Like, set the table first.
Set the table this. Okay, like if you've been under a rock, you haven't heard. It came out. Aaron Rodgers got COVID, and we wish anybody that's had COVID or somebody who's had COVID, get better, please. Aaron Rodgers was thought by many people in the media to have been vaccinated. And the reason being, when he was asked if he was vaccinated, back, I believe this was, Brian, at the beginning of training camp, I think this was, when he was asked that, he said, I was immunized. Not necessarily the same as being vaccinated for COVID-19. If someone asked me, hey, are you vaccinated against COVID-19? Yep, got my two jabs, I'm good, right? If somebody asked me that and I said I'm immunized, I mean, that's true. I am immunized because I've had vaccination shots for measles, mump, rubella, you know, all sorts of stuff, right? That's been happening. So you've been immunized, but you haven't been vaccinated against COVID-19. So Aaron Rodgers was deceitful with the words. And for more on this, I encourage people, if you haven't seen this week's episode of Sports Walk, Matthew Robeson, writer from the Daily News, took the Sports Walk, and he kind of got on Aaron Rodgers about this and Kyrie Irving, as he should. But he's out here lying to the people. And here's what bothered me, B. This is what bothered me about this. The Packers were in on this too. They were also lying to the people. They were in on this because of Aaron Rodgers, it appearing or being told that he was vaccinated. He was walking around the practice facility with no mask. If you are vaccinated, you can walk around practice facilities as an NFL player without a mask. But Aaron Rodgers was not vaccinated. He was walking around endangering the lives of others. The Packers knew this. Aaron Rodgers then went on, I'm forgetting what the podcast name was. I don't remember what it was.
But
Aaron
Rodgers, McAfee Show.
Pat McAfee Show. Thank you.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers went on Pat McAfee Show and talked about how he had been taking homeopathic treatments and had told the NFL that this should count as a vaccination and asked them for it. And the NFL actually looked into this, which I was like, why? Why did they even look into this? All the NFL had to respond and say was, hey, did you get one of three things? Did you take the Johnson & Johnson? Did you take the Pfizer? Or did you take the Moderna? And Aaron Rodgers would have said no. They should have just said, all right, well, you're not vaccinated. It was that simple to me. There was nothing else beside that. But here's Aaron Rodgers getting the benefit of the doubt, probably because he is Aaron Rodgers, and the NFL entertained this. And he said he took these homeopathic treatments here. And who did he get the advice to do these homeopathic treatments from? Joe Rogan. And this is why I would like to ask Aaron Rodgers. Why did you take advice on COVID treatment from Joe Rogan? I mean, there's things I might ask Joe Rogan about. How to host a game show. How to host a podcast. Pretty good podcaster, right? Got some following. But COVID? You're going to ignore the experts? You're going to ignore the science? You're going to ignore the research? And then you're out here arrogantly lying to the people? And then on the Pat McAfee Show, talking about you don't want to be caught up in the woke agenda and all this other nonsense. And it's like, because people were roasting you? Like, now whenever you get roasted and people come at you, it's like, oh, that's cancel culture. Oh, that's part of the woke agenda. No, you just did some dumb shit. And we're going to laugh at you about it because some dumb shit. Like, that's it. But my thing is, forget all that. Aaron Rodgers is out here, was endangering his teammates. He got COVID, could have spread it to other teammates who were at him hanging out for Halloween and other stuff like that. And he's lying. Now, here's what angered me even more, Brian. And I had to pull this up to make sure. Aaron Rodgers got fined, right? This just came down before we recorded this podcast. Aaron Rodgers got fined $14,650. The Green Bay Packers got fined $300,000. Darren Revelle, shout out to him for this tweet. He talked about Aaron Rodgers getting fined $14,650 for violation of COVID protocols. Based on his $22.4 million salary, That's the equivalent of finding the average American $33.80, which is to say, yo, Aaron Rodgers laughed at that amount of money. It's nothing. This isn't going to deter him from lying again. And then the Packers, they don't get punished in any kind of serious way. They don't $300,000. They don't lose any draft picks. Nothing else happens. We're just going to go on about this. Joke. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Joke. Absolute joke.
It's weird because, like, so y'all listen to the show. I obviously have talked about listening to Levitard. Levitard, they've had, like, developed a relationship with Aaron Rodgers where they were interviewing him. And the interviews were generally very good. And Aaron Rodgers seemed like a person who, and I don't think he's dumb, like a dumb person necessarily, but I think he obviously, like, has done a bunch of dumb shit this past week or so, right? I think both those things could be true. And in listening to those interviews with Levitard, like, you know, he seems pretty insightful on a lot of things and is open-minded and wants to be just sort of well-rounded on a lot of different fronts. But then also what comes with that is, like, I mean, we've joked about if we wanted to sort of pull our favorite rappers, which ones are vaccinated and which ones aren't, like, we might not want to know the answers to some of these things. And Aaron Rodgers just, you know, the problem is he thinks he's too smart, right? Dex, like, I feel like he thinks that he's too above this, like, he's past this. He allegedly, or he said, I think, that he, what, post a multiple 100-page proposal to the NFL in trying to, like, you know, lay out all this supposed data and all these different things. And then the taking advice for Joe Rogan thing is interesting because, as you said, like, yeah, there are certain things that I would ask him. Like, yeah, Joe Rogan has a great podcast. You know, he is one of the best mixed martial arts analysts ever. And I very much enjoy when he can break that down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I was somebody who, like, I would listen to his show sometimes when he'll have a mixed martial arts focused show, or when he'll have one of his comedian friends like a Joey Diaz or a Whitney Cummings or an Annie Letterman, et cetera, et cetera. But when he would have some of these, you know, right-wing dudes, you know what I mean? Then I would be like, oh, okay. Like, he, you know, it's the both sides thing. And look, there's being open-minded, but then there's, like, giving certain people like Alex Jones a platform to where it's like, all right, like, this dude is very serious, and then trying to make Ben Shapiro seem like smarter than he is, which he's not. Giving Candace Owens a voice, you know, we can run Tim Pool, you know, you could run down the list of all these people that I probably shouldn't even be mentioning my name, but I'm doing so anyway. And when it comes to Aaron Rodgers listening to him, you know, Joe Rogan and Aaron Rodgers are both in a certain tax bracket to where it's like, look, if they don't want to get vaccinated, they should. But if they don't want to get vaccinated, like, yes, they can get horse dewormer and all this other shit that allegedly works, which, you know, it's not really advised by the CDC, so they shouldn't be trying it anyway because they don't know what the long-term effects are, which then raises the question, why are you comfortable putting horse dewormer in your body as opposed to just getting a vaccine? Why is that better for you as opposed to just getting a shot or a couple shots or whatever the case may be? It doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, I mean, listening to Joe Rogan, who is somebody who has said a bunch of different times on his own podcast, look, I'm not that smart. I just listen to whoever. And Aaron Rodgers listening to him is just perfect in a lot of different ways. So, look, I don't think those dudes are dumb by any means, but I do think that with Joe Rogan, he failed to realize a while ago, like, yo, you have done some irresponsible things with your platform in terms of some of the people you put on. And he gets literally millions of views every single day. And a lot of people are listening to these people and are dying as a result because they are people who think that, hey, I don't need to get vaccinated because they are. But meanwhile, those people are of a certain tax bracket and they have access to all these different things to where they can really take care of themselves as much as possible. We use the Donald Trump example up here. And Donald Trump is somebody who, like, yeah, he had COVID. He looked like he was about to die. And then he had a helicopter flown to, like, one of the best hospitals in the world in order to take care of him. And by the way, he's vaccinated. So, you know, he's good. And there are people, there was a story on MSNBC recently, I think it was MSNBC, correct me if I'm wrong, where they were talking about the new faces of COVID deaths, the last 100,000, 200,000 or so. And their lead was Southern, rural, young, and white. And that's very different from when in the very beginning, it was people that looked like Dexter and I who were dying from this. And that's because a lot of us have learned, we're getting vaccinated, and a lot of those people think that they can listen to people like Aaron Rodgers and Joe Rogan, et cetera, putting out misinformation, thinking they can get away with it when they don't have the money or the resources to do so. And that's what's killing a lot of people in a lot of different places in this country. So yeah, it was disappointing to see Aaron Rodgers do that. And then in hindsight, you kind of realize like it wasn't totally surprising either, but it's unfortunate. And, you know, I would just say we'll see what happens from here.
Yeah, I don't want to call anybody dumb, but I think at this point where we're at, and I don't want to belabor this too much, but just ignoring the science is ridiculous. He also brought up as his argument, Aaron Rodgers did, that when I speak of the he, that, oh, what, basically, like, what good is the vaccine if people are still contracting COVID? And it's like, yo, man, nobody's ever said that. Nobody right. ever said take the vaccine.
Bradley Beal, that was Bradley Beal.
You get it. That was Bradley Beal's point yeah. too, right? And like, it's, dude, it's like, I have to look at you at least being dumb on this issue because nobody's ever said that. It has been said and it has been proven that it slows the spread. And if you get it, there's a really important thing that will happen for when you say, if you get the vaccine and if you still get COVID, there's this really big thing that could happen. You likely, very likely won't die. That yeah,
it's
is
like,
huge.
It's literally like 99.9%.
Right. 97% of those people that are being hospitalized right now with COVID-19 are people who have not been vaccinated. I'm sorry. Does anybody want to be hospitalized? Nah. Like, one, you don't want COVID, and you damn sure don't want to be hospitalized by COVID. So it's like, yo, what are you doing? According to the CDC, unvaccinated are 11 times more likely to die than people there who are vaccinated. That's huge. Like, and if you think that's a lie, if you think that's a lie, if you don't believe that, all right, show me the credible evidence, right? When he was asked to talk about the treatment that he took, he yeah. wouldn't talk about what the treatment is. Yo, you're whack for that. Whack.
But that's the thing. It's like he thinks that his quote-unquote evidence is credible, like whatever he's presenting to the NFL,
okay,
and, you know, all that sort of thing, like that. But that's the thing, like he, like some of these people, I'm not calling them dumb, but they're not as smart as they think they are. Both those things could be
they're
true.
Not,
Kyrie Irving, Kyrie Irving,
smart on this issue.
Kyrie Irving is in the same category, right? Like these are people who think that they're smarter than the scientists who actually been researching this before we even knew that COVID would come here and, you know, sort of rearrange America the way that it has.
Here's the thing, and last thing, and this is my issue with this, and we are not here to uphold Hotep Handles, aka Kyrie Irving. We're not here for that. But at least Kyrie stood in what he believed in, as ridiculous as I think that that is, and said, I'm not going to play. Aaron Rodgers doesn't believe in the science, doesn't believe in getting vaccinated, but he's out here wilding out, walking around with no mask, putting other people's lives in danger, and then saying he's caught up in the woke mob. Like, nah, you're arrogant as hell to say that. It's completely arrogant. And watch, he's going to come back. That's another thing. If he comes back, and when he comes back, we keep acting like, oh, he'll be done and he'll bounce back. We don't know this, especially because he wasn't vaccinated. We don't know this. If and when he comes back, is he still going to have that same energy? Is he going to keep up the arrogance? I'll tell you what. If I was on the Green Bay Packers, and I don't care how much money I play, Aaron Rodgers have to answer some questions for me. We going to have to talk about that, especially if I would be vaccinated. Vaccinated up in there, and you was walking around here with no mask? Nah, son. We got to talk. And somebody else that might just be trying to get by in the NFL, that's got some maybe kids and a family at home, you think they're happy? Nope.
Yo, but the thing is, like, one of the remember, it was him and there was another quarterback. The dude's name is escaping me. But the practice squad quarterback. A dude from the practice squad who got COVID, right?
You out so here this messing is, up my money.
This is some. You're a practice squad player. Like, you're barely making six figures. And you're not. You're, like, on the roster, kind of, sort of, but not really. You're the 63rd guy, essentially. Because you have 53 players. You have 10 practice squad guys. So what if that dude gets it? And he doesn't really recover like that, right? Like, because he doesn't have, you know, $30 million every year, whatever it is Aaron Rodgers makes. Like, it could have been very serious. I think, well, who was the Jacksonville Jaguars running back? He couldn't play. He hasn't, I don't think he's played since.
He's had COVID.
Is it Teron Armstead, I believe?
Yeah, I'm forgetting his name. Yeah. And see, we don't talk about that enough in sports. There's this talk that, oh, this could hurt the Packers. What if this happens in the playoffs again with Aaron Rodgers and he's not vaccinated? Yo, there's no guarantee he comes back. And we don't know the effects of it. Look how Cam Newton played after he came back last year. People act like it's a given that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back and just ball out. Like, COVID is still affecting athletes. Jason Tatum is still using an inhaler. Jaylen Brown on the Celtics is talking about the effects he's still feeling from COVID. People act like everybody's just bouncing back like this is a sprained ankle. Like, nah.
Not Teron Armstead. That's the Saints tackle. Ryquell Armstead, don't know if they're related. He is a Jacksonville Jaguars running back. He missed the entire season due to COVID complications in 2020. Some were expecting that he was going to have some sort of a breakout year. He was twice placed, this is from ESPN, on a reserve COVID-19 list last season. He also had an injury, and he got waived in March.
And look, this
hasn't played since.
Right. This is the NFL where a lot of people are disposable. And I know that Ryquell is not Aaron Rodgers. I understand that. Right.
So hospitalized twice with COVID, got waived in May, not March, excuse me, May. But still, I'm not going to be like, yo, COVID effectively like ruined him or whatever. Ironically enough, I just looked this up. He's with the Green Bay Packers practice squad right now.
Wow.
Imagine
how do you being, think he feels?
Imagine being Ryquell. Wow, talk about bringing this full circle. Imagine being Ryquell Armstead.
Ooh.
And you, like, COVID basically, you know, ended your 2020 season, hospitalized you, was hospitalized twice due to significant respiratory issues, waived in May, claimed off of waivers by the New York Giants the day after, but then he was waived again the next month. This is the NFL. Was actually with the Saints, so that explains the confusion from earlier. For a little bit, he was on the practice squad in October of this year, got waived again, and the Packers signed him 6 days ago to the practice squad. Ryquell Armstead.
I'm surprised he wanted to go there, but people got to eat, right? People got to eat, and that's the thing. You got to think, this is the selfishness around this is, this isn't about you, Aaron Rodgers. And this is for all the people out there to think it's just about them. I'm making my personal choice, my personal decision. I said this before, I'll say it again. It is not a personal choice. It is a public health matter.
Yeah.
This affects everyone. But when you act like Aaron Rodgers didn't, act like it doesn't affect anyone, I have nothing else to call you than one word. I mean, I could say dumb, but I'll just settle on selfish.
Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today.
Keeping it to football, we don't talk too much football on here. But Brian, see the drama going on in Cleveland? Odell Beckham Jr. out of there now. He's just cleared waivers. He's free to sign with any team. And there was all this talk about OBJ after he's, you know, leaving Cleveland and the drama surrounding it. So I got to ask, do you think OBJ is cooked? Because I don't think so. He's still got something left to give. I don't see that this man is cooked.
I think that, so it's weird because, like, he's 29. I feel kind of split about this, right? He's 29, which is not old, but in the NFL, sometimes it is, right? We've seen wide receivers slow down at just weird rates. And with Odell Beckham, I look at the production and it's like, wow, he's really taken a dip from where he was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. But you look at some of the film And for whatever reason, Baker Mayfield and him like just have never developed chemistry. It's one of the oddest things that I've probably seen in football. And he couldn't get, he's not, because Baker Mayfield's not a bad quarterback by any means. I don't know how good he is. I don't know how great he is, but he's not a bad dude by any means. And right now he's playing injured. But Odell Beckham is not really getting targets. And then you see clips surface online. He's wide open in a lot of different spots. Other dudes, because Odell Beckham like works hard and is one of those guys, like other dudes like him and, you know, free OBJ and all this shit. I think Justin Jefferson had a free OBJ shirt or free Odell shirt. The receiver from the Minnesota Vikings who played at LSU like Odell Beckham. Mm-hmm. Not together, but, you know, fraternity. And I think that the Randy Moss comparison, I wouldn't make it necessarily because I don't think it's quite the same, but it wouldn't surprise me if it played out that way. Now, Randy Moss, we remember, obviously, was one of the best receivers ever with the Minnesota Vikings, went to the Oakland Raiders where had a couple of years, and then toward the end, it was like didn't really have a good quarterback, was frustrated. People were writing him off. They didn't think he was that good anymore. And then he went to the New England Patriots and had the 23 touchdown season, terrorized my then and Dexter's then New York Jets for multiple seasons, and was one of the best receivers ever once again before, you know, bouncing around a little bit to end his career. But could I see that play out with Odell Beckham? I don't know if it's going to be to that same extreme, 23 touchdowns the very first year playing on a team that goes undefeated all the way to the Super Bowl and loses. But I do think that if he gets in the right situation, maybe the Rams with Matthew Stafford being one of them, maybe the Baltimore Ravens, which is the one I'm sort of pulling for.
With, even as a Steeler fan, I still kind of want to see it.
Yeah,
I
like
still want to see it.
I feel like it would be a lot of fun. By the way, I think the Steelers would be wise to investigate, you know, what they can do with Odell Beckham there as well. Arizona with Kyler Murray. Like, there are a lot of different teams who could try to make this work. Green Bay, actually, is another one. Where
Seattle's another one.
Seattle's another one. You know what I'm saying? My boy Geno Smith was cooking last time they were playing. Russell Wilson's back. So we'll see what happens there. But I just want to point out that Geno Smith has the record this year. Most completions consecutively to start a game. You know what I'm saying? So
okay,
maybe next year he gets an opportunity to battle for a legit starting spot and stop backing up guys who barely get injured. But anyway, I think Odell Beckham could suit any number of teams, and I think it could play out very, very well for him. I'd be alarmed if his lack of production continues elsewhere, and I do think that him leaving Cleveland is a situation where it's a win-win for both sides because clearly it wasn't working. And I think the Browns are still good enough to win and win fairly big, meaning they can get to the playoffs and maybe win a game. I still think that's possible. It may be in the cards. Baker Mayfield's injury does scares me a little bit, but I don't think Odell Beckham leaving is going to affect them in any great way. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on this. I don't know if it'll be the Randy Moss situation, but I do think wherever he goes next, he will have an impact, especially if he gets around a decently good quarterback. You mentioned Seattle, which I think could be a good fit for him. I definitely would look out for the Rams. I can tell people this. I know OBJ likes L.A. He would like to be in L.A. I think that's a place he would like
that's
to be.
That's a report, people. That's a report.
That's not a report. Don't put that on me. I've heard that from people close to him. I've heard this from people close
to
him.
That's a report, isn't it?
I've heard from people close to him. He was not exactly thrilled, and I don't think this is breaking news to anybody. He wasn't thrilled about going to Cleveland. But who is thrilled about going to Cleveland? It's Cleveland, okay? Like, it's Cleveland.
LeBron didn't even want to stay when he went back. You know what I'm saying?
Look at where LeBron has ended up playing a good amount of his career, to Miami and L.A. No, I can see OBJ bouncing back. I don't think he's cooked. I still think he has a lot to give. I just don't think he was happy. I think he needs to be in a place where he's happy in terms of living and playing. It's just like anything else around work. We'll get to that later. And who knows? Maybe OBJ was just in a toxic work environment and he needed to get out. And now that he's free, he might be able to thrive. That happens for a lot of us. Just saying. It does. It really happens. All right. Speaking of toxic work cultures. Man. The story that dropped last week around the Phoenix Suns. We were expecting this. This had leaked. There was somebody broke. I'm forgetting who it was. Who broke the story about this story coming out? I'm forgetting who actually had broke the story. I don't remember. That story's coming. I can't even remember now. Yeah. It was Jordan Schultz. Jordan Schultz, I believe, broke the story of this story coming out.
I don't know if I would say he broke the story.
He didn't break the story. Let's just put it like this.
Did something else after this drop where I was like, I don't know about this
I'm not even aware of that. It doesn't even really matter. Anyway, there was a story by Baxter Holmes at ESPN, which was a really, really, I would say fantastic piece in terms of reading and investigative reporting. It's fantastic, but disturbing with the details in it, talking about the racism and sexism allegations against Suns owner Robert Sarver. I will not go into everything. There are things that are quite ridiculous through the story that Brian and I probably would just have our jaws dropped to this to a degree. And you're just disgusted at some of the things we said. Cliff notes Robert Sarver using the N-word, sometimes directly to black employees. Robert Sarver passing around pictures of his wife, which was ridiculous. We'll get to her in a second. Robert Sarver allegedly intimidating female employees who work for the Suns. And to Baxter Holmes' credit in terms of the investigative journalism, interviewed over 70 current and former Suns employees. A lot of people to talk, and most of the people, they would not go on the record, right? They would not put their name on this, but Earl Watson, former coach, did. Corliss Williamson, former assistant coach, did. And I think there's something to be noted about this. I talked about this in the NBA Exchange, where there's clearly what financial security can afford you. The reason a lot of people may not speak out about things in the toxic work culture is because they're not trying to lose their job. And when you speak out about things in toxic work cultures, and I'm saying this and I'm speaking about this from experience, real experience. I know this from the last job place that I worked at, where it's a toxic work culture, and you speak out about certain things.
Same.
And it was not valued. It was not heard. It was not listened to. And this happens a lot for black and brown people and also women in many toxic work cultures. So there's a lot of pushback where sometimes it's like, well, these people didn't put their name on it. No, I understand why, because those people are still trying to eat. And they know what the culture is, that they don't listen to them. And another thing that was interesting that was brought up in the story, people talked about HR and how HR was powerless in the situation. I think a lot of people, if you've ever complained about something toxic at your job or you've went to HR, you learn really quickly HR ain't your friend. They're not working for you. They're working for the people that you work for. They're there to protect them. And so I've literally had these things happen. This isn't me speaking out my ass. This is me talking about going to HR and saying, yo, this isn't right. At my previous job, I once went to HR and spoke and said, hey, something's not right here. I, as a black employee, am being treated one kind of way as counter to my white employees. And I was told, and that's the first time I'm speaking about this publicly, I was told, just focus on what I'm doing. Yeah. That kind of stuff happens to a lot of people in many different work cultures and many different situations. So when I read this, it hits home for me as somebody who's worked in a toxic work environment and has actually tried to use their voice and speak out. And so I understand the frustration of those people, but obviously the levels of what went on here and for how long it's gone on, 17 years we're talking about across this documented, it's really, really disturbing. I think the question and what we should talk about here is, this is a little different from Donald Sterling and other owners, governors, if you want to call them that, around the NBA. There really isn't a smoking gun here. There's nothing as of yet of Robert Sarver saying any of this on tape or on video and all this stuff. So, B, what do you think happens to Sarver with all this coming out? This isn't a good look for the league. This is obviously not a good look for the Suns. There are two major people on record here in the story with their names to this, talking about the things that he's done. It's not a good look. And look, I'll say this before you talk about it. I'm not shocked about this from these white billionaire owners. Like, none of this is shocking to me that these toxic work cultures exist in places where they don't care about women or black or brown people. Like, nope, not shocked. This is America.
None of these were shocking to me for two reasons. One, because white billionaires, as you said, but two, also because we've sort of heard these things about Robert Sarver, not like in this much detail, right? But we've heard different things from different people on podcasts or people we've spoken to, like, you know, he's this, he's that. Like, the book was sort of already out there on him, and this is confirming a lot of what we already suspected, but also unveiling a lot more necessary details about just what's going on there. I know what people would like to happen is for the Suns to have new ownership, a new CEO, and not have Sarver anymore. People have been calling, people in Phoenix, Suns fans, have been calling for change for a while, some of them. I don't know if this is going to actually get that done. I do think it brings them closer to that, but I don't know what's going to end up happening here, because this is a situation where I think the NBA does need to step in and do something substantial, but I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know what that necessarily looks like, right? And then when it comes to, like, Earl Watson is one of the people who spoke out and was a prominent voice in this. And, you know, thankfully he's back coaching in the league. I think he's on the Toronto Raptors staff. And Cordis Williamson was somebody else. But, yeah, a lot of people were scared to put their names on this, and rightfully so, because it's like, especially if you're a woman, right? Like, you don't want your name attached to these things because of what it can do to you in terms of what it can do to you internally, in terms of what it could do to you in the workforce, et cetera, et cetera. And the way people treat women, you know, they feel like the onus will be put on them. They'll be demonized. So they feel like they should just step off more often than not. So, you know, I think that this is very difficult for Suns fans to sort of process. But look, I wasn't too surprised when I saw it. This is billionaire shit. That's all I had to really say about that. And I think that the Suns, like, we talked about sort of the DeAndre Ayton situation and, you know, him being cheap, him being Robert Sarver, you know, why didn't he max DeAndre Ayton? And, you know, there have just been just a lot of different things like that sort of floating around there. So I wasn't too surprised when I saw any of this, to be honest with you.
I wasn't. And right before our recording of this podcast, I mean, the story gets worse. it kind of gets worse because another story came out from Baxter Holmes about Robert Sarver's wife, Penny Sarver. Woo! I mean, this is a classic example, what I'm about to say, of white privilege combined with a lot of money. Make some of those people feel really invincible. So Penny Sarver apparently sent messages to three former Phoenix Suns employees, and two of them were on Instagram, from her Instagram account. Two of them were on Instagram, and the other was from a text message from a number that belongs to Penny Sarver. In just why? And basically, over these messages, there were some intimidation, as well as, in a way, if you really think about it and read this, an admission of guilt. In a way, I mean, she admitted this because when reached for comment, Penny Sarver confirmed she sent the messages and she looks forward to the NBA's investigation. She said, quote, over the weekend, I decided on my own to reach out to a few people to try to set the record straight and to share how disappointed and hurt I am by the lies that are circulating about my husband and the Suns organization. I shared the betrayal that I felt and touched on some of the pain that we are going through as a family. Any suggestion that I tried to intimidate anyone is as silly as it is wrong and outrageous. All right. Maybe you want to buy that, but here are the messages, people, right? Each ESPN has reviewed the messages. This is according to the article by Baxter Holmes. This is Penny Sarver. One message began. I know a lot of bridges were burned between you and Robert, and you are very bitter. I want to remind you that real lives are at stake here. Later, the message added, please put your hatred aside and realize the hurt you are causing by spreading lies and fabrication. Is your time in the spotlight that important? If something happens to one of my children, I will hold you and Earl Watson personally responsible. Think about your own child for a second and imagine the tables turn. Sounds like a threat to me. For one former employee said, I don't know how to interpret it other than as a threat. I wouldn't know how to interpret it other than that either. A second employee received a message that began, I'm so terribly saddened that you would say such and true things about my husband. Your interpretation of what happened is so far from the truth. You are crushing my family's lives. Thanks for that. Third, a former employee said the message began, you are such a liar and you're trying to destroy my husband with your lies. You've destroyed my family and children. One of the employees said they were unsettled by the message, but they would not be intimidated and were even more emboldened to speak to investigators about the experiences with Suns and Robert Sarver. Yo, B, what was she thinking? I know Robert Sarver's lawyers had to find out about this and be just, they had to do the facepalm. Like,
here's the thing.
What is she thinking?
Yo, she's not a victim here. Right, like that. That's the whole. That's the whole thing that I that.
But she believes that she is right.
I mean, well, that's classic. That's privilege. Classic white woman shit. Honestly,
it's classic white privilege, right? Yeah. She believes that it. And here's the thing: we said we don't know what the NBA could do. The worst thing that could happen for the Sarvers, that is what happened to Donald Sterling. Right, you're forced to sell the team. But please, can we please reiterate what's happening there? You're forced to sell.
Right. You're still getting a couple billy, yo.
You're
still
getting a couple billy.
And
you're
going to
come up on a profit.
Look, here's the thing. She's like, the person she has to talk to is her husband. Because that's the motherfucker really outing you on all this shit. Because he was showing everybody photos of you and shit. That I just Googled her name real quick because I was trying to like figure out how old she is. And because I, you know. The age difference there looks apparent, and you know, billionaire shit be billionaire shit. So when you actually Google her name, one of the first things that comes up now is bikini photos because dudes be thirsty. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, once I found out there was a WikiFeet page, I knew we were all lost. Like, that's fucking weird. Y'all motherfuckers that go on WikiFeet are fucking weird. Well, look, all man, right,
everybody got their thing. Let them rock.
That's some weird Rex Ryan shit.
Let
yo.
Them rock.
Rex so basically, Ryan so but rock. No. Fuck them. So basically, like, she's not a victim here. Like, who the person she should be mad at is her goddamn husband. I guess where it doesn't make sense to me. Because he's the one that's going to fumble all of this and has fumbled all of this. She's not a victim here. It's typical white privilege shit. And a lot of older white women tend to do the same thing, especially if they have a certain belief of socially and politically or whatever the case may be. Like, it's just all lines up the Penny way you think it would.
Penny Sarver. I believe there was intimidation in those messages.
Yeah.
You are also impeding an investigation, a current investigation, which is mind-blowing to me. And then you admitted to doing all that through the statement. What are you doing? How are you making any of this better? Like, yeah, you're right. She might be a little salty about them pics, but like you said, the problems with her husband. But this isn't going away anytime soon. This is just broke. This seems really messy. And look, can't say we're shocked, folks.
Nah.
This toxic work culture is all over the place. And if you think this is the only owner in the NBA or only front office running things like this, no. There's rampant toxicity in terms of race, in terms of misogyny, all throughout America. We all know this because we've worked at places like this. And you know what? Not everybody speaks out. I'm not shaming anybody for doing that. Not everybody gets to choose their freedom. Not everybody's fortunate to do that. That's a privilege for some people. Not everybody's fortunate to do it. But people are dealing with this every day. And there's coming a reckoning. And if we're going to actually have a reckoning, then we have to look at these cultures and places you work in. But you know who it's on? It's on the people in power. That means you, white people. That means you need to do better if you really want to do better. That means you, men, you need to do better by women. White people, you need to do better by people of color. If you really care about them being included in your place, not just diversity, because you hear the thing that Robert Sarver had a statement there. Oh, we've done more to hire more black people than you know anybody else. Like, what does that matter if the people aren't comfortable being there? That's the thing I always say. You can hire as many black and brown people as you want. If they're not comfortable being there, you talk to them like you own them. Nobody cares. These problems continue over and over again. And then you have people like Penny Sarver doing what we talked about this whole podcast,
yep.
Lying to the people.
And I will only add two more things. One, in terms of the HR point you made earlier, because I forgot to say this. The person that worked at HR or the head of HR the last place that I worked at, yeah, she was not helpful at all. And I'll just leave it at that. And two, I think Penny Sarver is also mad about that other detail that was in the story that we're not going to get into here because because I think she... Look, she mad that the streets know she got some skills, B. You know what I'm saying?
Look, like, man. Look, man. Like you said, I'm going to keep it real what you said. You can't be mad. Just be mad at your husband. He's the one wilding out. And I find it hard to believe you didn't know that's how he was. You knew how he was.
Like, yo, I'm not telling nobody none of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not sharing those details.
Yeah,
with people, but billionaires are wired a different way. Sarver wants to be cool.
I've seen broke dudes trying to be cool wired like that and talking about their dealings with women because that's just a part of toxic masculinity.
Well, yes, I agree. I also I'm more so saying it. All right, this is gonna sound bad, but I'm more so saying it about like wife, future wife, like that sort of situation. If you're just playing around, you know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
If you're just playing around, dudes sharing details, whatever. I'm not
respecting that woman in that relationship.
Right.
So to your point, right?
I'm not that person. Look, women do it amongst each other too, right? It's just something that we do as people. I'm just saying, if you're married to the person,
I get your point.
Or if you're planning on getting, like, if that person's the one, like, nah, don't be sharing them details with your homies. I don't do that. But if you're just kind of kicking it, you're just messing around, ladies, gentlemen, whoever, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I hear what you're saying. The nature of the relationship matters to there. But look,
it's like what did Nas say? Was it at the end of? I don't think it was Nas, but it was at the end of You the Man. It's still Matic. Word is bond, yo. I had her down on my shit like.
Nah, that's Street Dreams, man.
Oh, Street Dreams? Yeah. That's Street Dreams. No, You're the Man had another skit. That's why I'm getting confused. That was Street Dreams. Street Dreams.
Oh, man. Or I got a story to tell. Lots of stuff. He wasn't talking about the one.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of conversation I'm talking about. When you just get in with the homie.
He ain't doing that. I feel you. I feel you on that. Well, it's gonna be a lot going on with Robert Sarver. We'll see how that plays out. I don't think it's gonna end well. All right, that's a wrap for this podcast, episode 200 of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Thank you again to everybody for their support. Please continue to support us. Hit the subscribe button on whatever streaming platform it is you listen to. Leave us a nice review because, you know, we're great. Should leave us like 200 reviews since this is 200th episode. We wouldn't mind that at all whatsoever. But one of the things we want to get back to talking about is supporting us. You want to support the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. You want to support the great content that is out here at Backpack Broadcasting. Support our Patreon page. For as little as $3 a month, you can become a patron. We want to thank our patrons who have been supporting us. We absolutely appreciate everything that you've done. The patrons really help us be able to create more content. This isn't easy. This isn't what we get paid for by somebody else. We don't have a million sponsors, but we got you the people. And y'all can help us out a little bit. Donate what you want. Donate what you can and help us out there. As I said, thank you to those who donate and make this possible. And help us through Patreon. So visit our Patreon page. And as I said, thank you to all our patrons as we will continue to hopefully have 200 more episodes. So for this episode of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, where we keep it real and talked a lot about other people lying, we won't do that. We'll continue to keep it real. He's Brian Fonseca. I'm Dexter Henry. And until next time, y'all,
shoot.
Peace.